killing a 32-year-old scientist who worked in procurement is not going to stop the program. It has a psychological impact, but it's not going to really slow down or stop the program.
A big country like Iran, which enjoys considerable young population and numerous experts, is too strong to be crushed by the assassination of 1, 10, or even 100 individuals. Those who think so are totally wrong.
Days come and go, but the fond memories of my family stay with me. I wish them well, and I know they'll remember me.
Mustafa Ahmadi Roshan was born in Hamadan, located about 360 kilometers southwest of Tehran. Mustafa's interest in nuclear reactions during the years of high school drew the attention of his teachers. Another nuclear scientist is assassinated. Mustafa Ahmadi Roshan was born in a small city and rapidly rose to the highest scientific degrees. As one of Iran's renowned scientists in the field of nuclear science, Dr. Abbasi became the target of a similar assassination attempt on November 29, 2010. He believes that the efforts of Iran's enemies in stopping the progress of Iran's nuclear program could only make Iranian scientists more determined in their endeavor.
And then others came knowing. The job of Ahmadi Roshan used to know. Those who have to do with manufacturing centrifuges do exist. It is interesting to know that they are the enemy's targets. They know it, and therefore they are duplicating themselves in a way by delivering lectures at more than 15 universities. Now we teach the technology as a textbook at universities.
This is Natanz nuclear facility, about 320 kilometers south of Tehran. The site is now named after Mustafa Ahmadi Roshan. This complex has drawn the attention of most Western countries in recent years. Here is the Commercial Deputy Directorate of Natanz Enrichment Facility, the workplace of Mustafa Ahmadi Roshan.
We don't see ourselves to be a threat to someone. They think that we are so. They are not afraid of Iran to have nuclear weapons. But we don't believe in having and using such weapons. And Muslims do not need military weapons to promulgate their ideas. Whenever some groups, under the name of Islam, used military weapons to spread their ideology, their actions backfired. We are invaders in the intellectual area. We introduce ourselves via speech and technology and let people accept our thoughts at will. Again, we are not a threat to them in terms of military invasion.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, goes beyond the perspective of the country's executive officials and considers the use of nuclear weapons as forbidden, or in Islamic terms, haram.
A man of Fars nomads by origin. I live in Ray. After 33 years, now I rest in the graveyard of the Shah Abdulazim Shrine. Here is my grave. And this is my family. They come here every week, and I'm ready, waiting to see them. Look over there, my son, Hussein. Once in a while, I go to my son's school to see him. I miss him badly. Muhammad Hussein was my son and my friend.
Five assassinations in 3 years. Israel has always been accused of planning and funding these assassinations. Despite the allegations, Israel has not officially refused or confirmed its involvement. However, many experts and the former officials of Israel's secret service Mossad state that these assassinations are carried out by trained agents of the organization. A hopeless effort to halt a scientific program. Iranian officials believe this program and its science is not restricted to the circle of a few scientists.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies from all around the world. Welcome to a new episode of Muslim Lady. Well, today's episode is all a celebration on the auspicious occasion of the blissful birthday of the world's most outstanding lady, Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha.
Fatima Mulati Fatima, Fatima Mulati Fatima, Fatima Mulati Fatima, Fatima Mulati Fatima, Fatima Mulati Fatima.
On this very happy occasion of the birthday of Lady Fatima Salamullah Alayha, I welcome you to a new episode of Muslim Lady. Salam alaikum, Sister Zainab.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I also extend my congratulations to you on this very auspicious occasion of birthday of Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha, which is also the
Women's Day.
Yes.
And it's Eid, of course.
Yes, of course. It's for all women.
To all women out there, to all the Muslim ladies especially. And if we want to be the followers of this great lady, of this great outstanding lady, then we have to follow her lifestyle. As we have been doing that for weeks, we are focusing on the way she lived, on the narrations that actually has been passed to us through different books and different scholars. Now we know more about her. So if we want to achieve salvation according to her, if we want to be among her followers, we have to be more careful about how we act, and we have to know her more and more in order to get closer to how she was. So since we want to know more about her, Sister Zainab is here to tell us about the sources that are going to make it more clear for us to get closer to know her.
As you rightly mentioned that we got to know her more and more. The more we know her and the more we get closer to her, the more we can follow her. So there are many sources you can get to know about Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha, but I would refer to a very few in this episode. The first source is obviously the Holy Book of Quran. We already mentioned that she is introduced in Surah Kawthar. And then there are many other surahs where she is mentioned. Like, there's this verse of Tathir, or also called as verse of purification. It's the verse 33 of Surah Ahzab, which reads, "Indeed, Allah desires to repel all impurity from only you, Ahlul Bayt, and purify you with thorough purification." It talks about the purification of Ahlul Bayt, and the Shia school of thought also uses this verse as a source to defend the infallibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces Ahlul Bayt in this verse and talks about their purification. Now, is there any verse that talks about how Fatima Zahra salamullahi alayha is Ahlul Bayt? Yes, there is also the verse of Mubahila, which is from the verse 61 of chapter 3. And there was this encounter of Prophet, peace be upon him, with the Christians of Najran. And then they called the elders, and Prophet also called his Ahlul Bayt, making it clear who were Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah, thank you, sister. So, dear listeners, thank you for being with us. Let's go for a short break, and we'll be back in no time.
In the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful, indeed we have given you abundance.
Welcome back. You're listening to Muslim Lady. Well, dear Muslim ladies, we're talking about Lady Fatima Salamullah Alayha. And Sister Zainab was telling us about the purification verse in the Holy Book of Quran. And let's listen to more.
The words of purification, which is also called as Ayat Tathir, or which is the verse 33 of Surah Ahzab, introduces Ahlul Bayt as pure. And then there's this verse number 61 of chapter 3, which introduces who are Ahlul Bayt, like Allah, Prophet introduces, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces Imam Ali as Anfusana, the soul of Prophet. And he introduces Hasnan, the Imam Hasan and Imam Hussein al-Islam, as Abna, the sons of Prophet, and Lady Zahra salam alayha as Nisa'ana, the women. There were many more people in the household of Prophet, Uncle Abbas, their sons, and so many other people, but he brought these chosen people and he called them as Ahlul Bayt. And you know, there was a verse coming in, the verse of verse 61 of chapter 3, introducing them, who they are. So it's very clear who are Ahlul Bayt. Then there's a verse about their infallibility. And also, there's one more verse which talks about her character, the way she behaved. Like there's a saying that she once was, her sons were very ill, and then she keeps fast. And then at the time of when she prepares iftar, some of the breads, then some of the three times the door gets, you know, struck, and there are people asking for food, and she gives away all three times, and then she breaks her fast with a glass of water. And then also a verse of Surah Hal-Ata or Surah Insan gets revealed, which says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, they are those who fulfill their vows and fear a day of sweeping horror and give food despite their desire for it to the poor, to the orphan, and to the captive. Talking about Quran, it talks all about her qualities. Talking about Prophet Muhammad is another source. His words are another source we can refer to her, who used to, you know, kiss her hand, stand for her in her honor, respect her. And, you know, in the days of ignorance, when everywhere was so, so ignorant, he would stand up in her honor and he would kiss her hands. And he would often, quite often, tell her that may your dad get sacrificed for you.
Yeah, teaching other men of his time, how is it to respect a woman?
Exactly. And on this, we would have no Women's Day if Prophet never did that.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
How kind he
has been to his daughter.
Exactly. So if we are receiving gifts today, if we're getting honor today, it's all because of his respect he showed towards his daughter.
Yeah.
And then also, obviously, Imam Ali al-Islam, how he used to refer to her. She also called him as Ya Sayyidina. He also referred to her as Ya Sayyidina, which means my leader.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see, even today, men have that kind of, you know, ego. They can't call their wives as leader.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Imam Ali al-Islam calls her as Ya Sayyidina. You know, you are my leader.
So this is the beauty of our religion, actually, that even our Prophet is such a respectful man toward women. Even his daughter, his wives, and all the women around him.
Yes.
So all these things have been passed down to us through the narrations. There's also another narration that says, Fatima is a part of me and the light of my eyes and the fruit of my heart, my soul. And this makes it pretty much clear.
You made it all, like, you did it all, like, how from Prophet's words we can know about her.
Yeah.
What were his thoughts about her? Because in many places he also says that those who make her happy make Allah happy. Those who make her angry make Allah angry.
Yeah.
So this again shows the status of this pious lady.
And once more, I have to congratulate all of you, all the Muslim ladies out there in this happy occasion. Let's go for a short break and we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear ladies. You're listening to your program in today's episode, which is a happy episode because we're talking about this auspicious occasion, which is the birth anniversary of Lady Fatima salamullah alayha. And Sister Zainab is actually helping us with that.
Yes, sister. So we were talking about the sources we can refer to know more about the lady. So we talked about Quran. We said some of the verses like Surah Kawthar is there, Ayah Mubahila is there, the verse of Mubahila, the verse of Tathir or the verse of purification, or also the verse of Surah Insan, which we can refer to know more about the lady. Then we said words of the Prophet, and you put it all in one of the hadiths that he calls her, that you are a part of me, you are a fruit of my soul, you are the one who makes you happy, makes Allah happy, the one who angers you, makes Allah angry. There are other imams as well, like Imam Ali alayhi salam. He says, he writes in a letter to Muawiyah that there are certain things that are a matter of pride for me to, that Fatima is among us. And also Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says the same thing, that it's a matter of pride for us that Fatima salam alayhi is from us. Imam Baqir alayhi salam calls her Siddiqatun Kubra because, in the Quran, Lady Maryam, who has a very, very high status, is called as Siddiqah. But Imam Baqir alayhi salam calls Lady Fatima Zahra Siddiqatun Kubra. In the same way, like all imams have said something about her. And also the Imam of our time, Imam Zamaj Allah Ta'ala Farajah, says that she is my role model, which clarifies
everything.
Yes, like she can't be a role model for only Muslim ladies, but also the Muslim men out there. She's role model for all, because she practiced patience in her life and so many other things. And patience or these other attributes are not something that only women have to practice in their life. Even males can learn a hell lot of things from her life.
Yeah. So, sister, even Allah himself is giving so much of importance to this one lady. Among all these men, he is making this woman so much of importance. And this is so much of messages to give everyone.
Apart from like Quran, apart from Prophet, the words of Prophet, peace be upon him, apart from Imams, these are the three major sources. Apart from them, there are writers. There are Muslim writers, there are Shia writers, there are non-Shia writers, there are Sunni writers. They have so many books about Lady Zahra salam alayha. And even there are non-Muslim writers.
Yeah, exactly.
One of them is like Sulaiman Qattani, who has written a book about Fatima al-Zahra, peace be upon her, Tendon in Shilf. And there are so many other, it's not just one non-Muslim scholar. There are so many scholars who have researched upon her life and written big books about her. So her life is not only a symbol and a role model for Muslims, but also for non-Muslims. And her life in itself is a lesson. She has a daughter. Was daughter with all her existence. She wept for her father. She acted as a nurse for her father when he would come from the wars. She condoled her father. She was daughter in all senses. She took care of her father in a sense that she got a title, Umme Abiha, the mother of her father. She was a wife, a loving wife, a caring wife, expressed love. She never compared her husband. She respected him a lot. She was a mother in all senses. She would play with her kids. She would sing for them. She would recite poems for them, and she would upbring them, and she would definitely take care of their spirituality. And talking about her importance, talking about her attributes, Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, which is also his birthday today with her, and see the coincidence. With the blessing of her birthday, with the blessing of coming on the same day, he became the leader of the revolution of Islamic Republic of Iran. He also says that, I am amazed about her virtues. The most one that strikes me or makes me ponder is the one that Jibreel, after Prophet Muhammad, when the revolution was cut, everything was over, in those 75 days when she is alive, he comes continuously to her and gives her condolences, gives her messages from Prophet, peace be upon him. So yeah, there are a lot of things we could know more about the lady.
Of course, she's the mother of all the women. She's the queen of all the ladies of heaven. So there's a lot to her to talk about. If a Muslim lady wants to know more about her, everything is available for her, and she could go for search and search and know more about her and apply it in her life. And that's all. So once more, sister, and all the listeners, I congratulate all of you in this happy occasion. May it be all blessings for you. Until another session, I bid you farewell. May Allah protect you and shower you with His blessings. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something. something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Thought.
Hello everyone, and on the eve of the blessed birthday anniversary of the Holy Prophet's Immaculate Daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, let us hear some interesting words from this Lady of Light about the purpose of creation by God Almighty. He originated things, but not from anything that existed before them, and created them without examples to follow. Rather, he created them with his might and dispersed them according to his will. Not for a need did he create them, nor for a benefit for him did he shape them, but to establish his wisdom, bring attention to his obedience, manifest his might, lead his creatures to humbly venerate him, and to exalt his decrees.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In mid-December, the White House and U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders clashed in the run-up to a Senate vote on the War Powers Resolution put forward by the Vermont Independent. Sanders' resolution would have put a definitive end to U.S. support for the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen by ending sharing intelligence for the purpose of enabling offensive coalition strikes and also ending logistical support for offensive coalition strikes, including providing maintenance and spare parts for Saudi fighter jets. But by the evening, Sanders had agreed to withdraw his resolution, saying he would enter negotiations with the White House on compromise language. The Intercept revealed that the White House was pressuring senators to vote against the bill, and the Democrats came out in opposition to Sanders' resolution. Sanders' justification for not holding the vote was that the Biden administration claimed it would work with Congress on ending the war in Yemen. But even if the White House really wants to engage with Congress on the issue, or if Sanders chooses to reintroduce the resolution, the plan will take time, which Yemenis don't have. A similar Yemen War's Powers resolution was passed in 2019 by both the U.S. House and Senate.
U.S. intervention in Yemen is unauthorized, unconstitutional, and immoral. And we must not, we cannot delay voting to end our involvement and our support of Saudi Arabia any further. If we do, we have ourselves to blame for our country's lost credibility on the world stage. And more importantly, our own consciences will bear the blame for the thousands of lives that will surely continue to be lost.
It is a vote to demand that the humanitarian crisis in Yemen be addressed. It is a vote that will tell the despotic dictatorship in Saudi Arabia that we will no longer be part of their destructive military adventurism.
However, the administration of former President Donald Trump vetoed the bill. The Biden administration's opposition marks a reversal on the part of top Biden administration officials, including Jake Sullivan, Samantha Power, Susan Rice, and Wendy Sherman, who signed a letter in 2019 calling on Congress to override then-President Donald Trump's veto of the Yemen War Powers Resolution. Anti-Yemen war advocates say now it is the ideal time to put forth the resolution, as the UN brokered truce in Yemen has expired more than 2 months ago, and the Saudis can resume airstrikes at any time. Since the onset of the war in 2014, the Saudi-led coalition has launched a wide-ranging aerial bombing campaign, carrying out thousands of airstrikes. The coalition also imposed an economic blockade on Ansarullah-controlled areas, including a sea and air blockade, worsening economic conditions for millions of Yemenis. More than 23.4 million people, including 12.9 million children, are in need of humanitarian assistance and protection, almost three-quarters of their entire population. A previously announced end to U.S. offensive support did not prevent devastating and indiscriminate Saudi airstrikes in Yemen, which occurred as late as March 2022. More than 11,000 children have been killed or maimed as a result of the war, according to UNICEF. Critics say the White House's opposition to the War Powers Resolution is, in fact, a gift to the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. In the words of Abdullah Al-Aoud, research director for Saudi Arabia and the UAE at Democracy in the Arab World Now, despite the catastrophic failure of Biden's fist-pump approach with MBS, and the Saudi government, it seems that while MBS gets more brutal and emboldened, the administration doubles down on protecting him. The fact is, the American government has protected bin Salman legally in U.S. courts with a legal immunity request, protected him militarily with weapons and arms sales, and protected him politically with pressure on Congress to impede efforts to end the Yemen war. For three presidential administrations now, the U.S. has provided weapons and logistical support to the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen. The United Nations estimates that 233,000 people have died in Yemen during the war, more than half of them due to non-combat factors like food insecurity and poor medical care. U.S.-made weapons have been used in attacks that left hundreds, if not thousands, of civilians dead and have helped keep the war raging for nearly 8 deadly years. In his first visit to the State Department as president, Biden said he was ending U.S. support for the Saudi-led campaign in Yemen.
This war has to end. And to underscore our commitment, we are ending all American support for offensive operations in the war in Yemen, including relevant arms sales.
But by December 2021, the administration had pushed an additional sale of missiles to Saudi Arabia through Congress. Biden administration officials have failed to condemn Saudi airstrikes at critical moments and haven't effectively pushed Riyadh to end the blockade that's keeping humanitarian aid away from civilians.
The president welcomes today's announcement of an extension of the truce in the Yemen conflict. The truce in Yemen, of course, was a key agenda item during the president's visit to Saudi Arabia, where he met with the king and the crown prince and with leaders from across the region. We're grateful for the leadership of Saudi Arabia throughout this truce process, as well as for the Sultan and leaders of Oman, who have also played an important role throughout. Now, this truce is now going on 5 months, has brought a period of unprecedented calm in Yemen, saving thousands of lives and bringing tangible relief for countless Yemenis. 5 months, which may not sound like a lot, but when you're talking about 7 years of war, thousands and thousands of Yemeni lives, it counts for a lot. And now we have a chance to extend this another 2 months.
On these grounds, it's quite understandable why the Yemenis are so cynical about the goodwill of the Americans when they promised to work out a truce or ceasefire that would benefit Yemen in the face of the Saudi-led aggression. The Biden administration has had 2 years to do what he promised with regard to Saudi Arabia and Yemen. The only tangible measure it has taken so far is making Sanders withdraw from his anti-war resolution. It's naive to suppose that the Americans will lift a finger to put pressure on Saudi Arabia to end the bloodiest war ongoing in the world.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about characteristics of a Muslim wife.
I never thought about
you, I'll give it to me. I never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you. Until I took the first step, and that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Today, Thursday, is the 19th of Jamadi Thani, 1444, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of the month of Day, 1401, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of January, 2023, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. It's nice to listen to verse 13 of chapter Al-Hujurat from the Holy Quran and bless this moment.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhan nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha waj'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum.
O mankind, indeed we have created you from male and female, and made you peoples and tribes that you may know one another. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous of you. Indeed, Allah is knowing and acquainted.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Islamic faith rejects all racial, political, ethnological, tribal, geographical, economic, intellectual, cultural, social, and military segregations and places fear of Allah as the standard for distinction between virtues and vice. It's worthy of note that numerous Quranic verses deal with factors leading believing community to perils and forbids people from the same. The blessed verse, verse 13 of chapter Al-Hujurat in question, addresses the members of the human society and thus expresses the most significant principle, guaranteeing discipline and stability and the true standard of human values against false values.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا
Today and in this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we get familiar more about characteristics of a Muslim wife. Nikah is one of the strongest pillars of a Muslim's life, as nikah comprises half of our deen, our iman in this world. Your spouses are half of your deen, so it becomes very important to be cautious while choosing the right partner. This is why many people take longer time to reach the final choice, so that they have to bear minimum risk. A good wife is like a blessing, just like a bad wife is equal to hell. Today, people pay a lot of undue importance on features and beauty, as those materialistic attributes are most important for them. Unfortunately, most of the times, people fail to see the good in character and rejects a person because of his or her poor wealth and beauty. One should seek a wife who is known to be of good character. The one who has been raised in Islamic atmosphere will make your home a Jannah like paradise, with her principles and morals.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear and sisters around the world, assalamu alaikum and welcome to this show. This is Ali, and inshallah I will be with you with the topic that we are going to pause and discuss. That is the characteristics of a Muslim lady, a Muslim woman. In this show, we try to mention some of the characteristics of that noble lady. Lady Fatima sallallahu alayhi was a model for all the humanity, men and women. The next trait and feature of this great lady of Islam was her unreserved service to family and husband. Unreserved service during the 9 years that Fatima sallallahu alayhi was in the house of Imam Ali alayhi salam, having 4 children except for the years when a servant was appointed for her, she did all the tasks at home by herself. In addition to taking care of her children, Fatima sallallahu alaihi drew water from the well and milled barley, and she never expressed her tiredness, never blamed her husband for doing such things, and never shirked from the burden of responsibility. The next trait and characteristic of this great lady of Islam was that she was the mine of veil and modesty. Fatima sallallahu alaihi did not only protect her modesty in worldly matters, but even after her death, she was never willing to put her body wrapped in a shroud in front of the public. That is, even in the afterlife, that we all human beings are going to pass this life, this world. There is only a shroud in front, wrapped around us. So, until these two things were not guaranteed for her, death was not pleasant for her. So, right after that, she heard that there is a way to hide her body, even in shroud, by a coffin. She felt that now she is ready to live.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
you are with today's special, and in this part, most important characteristics to look for a Muslim wife, one of them, a practicing Muslim. As a Muslim man, we are giving some instructions while choosing a Muslim partner. A woman has to be pious, religious, and good-fearing. As a Muslim man, we are given some instructions while choosing a Muslim partner. A woman has to be pious, religious, and God-fearing, and this is the most important characteristic to look for in your future wife. Whether she's beautiful, coming from a wealthy family, that is an extra point. The main thing is to be religious. By practicing, one doesn't mean that she's just wearing a proper hijab. A lot of brothers misunderstand this point. Some Muslim sisters are hijabi, but don't pray on time. They don't observe their fast. They don't possess a religious character. So you have to look at in a holistic way as to who is practicing Islam in a true way and who isn't.
Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa 'allamul ghuyub fi shuruqi wa fil ghurubi nuruhu yahdi al-asar. عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما الرضا.
In this part of today's special, we're going to look at common rights and responsibilities of a Muslim wife. The duty of a wife is to submit herself before her husband, okay? In absence of her husband, the duties of the wife include the protection of his rights, status, wealth, and respect. Should be his closest confidant. She must not let anyone inside the house without his permission in his absence. For doing so would lead to a lot of misunderstandings, which would have drastic repercussions on the sacred contract of marriage. The Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace and salutations of Allah be upon him and his pure progeny, is also reported to have said, "A wife who gives her husband water to drink attains a reward, a 1 year of worship, a year whose nights were passed in prayers and days in fasting. In exchange of one drop of water, which she provides for her husband, one city is built in paradise for her, and sins of 60 years are forgiven." Imam Muhammad al-Baghir, peace be upon him, said, "The jihad of women is to be patient while facing the difficulties of life with their husbands."
Now, these days, you'll find some sisters, some women saying, "Well, you know, in Islam, I'm not obligated to do house chores." And that's true. It's not a religious obligation. Islam is very clear that a wife, she's not required to do house chores. And some women say, "Since I'm not required, I'm not going to do it." This is wrong. This kind of thinking is wrong. This is your own house. It's your own marriage. The more you contribute, the more you make your marriage a richer experience in life. Yes, it's not your religious obligation. That's true. But out of your own goodness, to show your love and compassion, you should contribute as much as you can. The more you contribute, the more you will benefit. The more your children will benefit. And so we see that this is an issue in society. An issue in our marriages where you have selfish spouses. All they care about themselves. You know, there are some brothers that have so high expectations and they always expect their wives, you know, to be presentable to them, to decorate themselves, to be always there for them. And they forget about themselves. You know, he always wants his wife to be beautiful and slim when he has a belly this big and he's not taking care of himself. You also take care of yourself. Not just, you know, your wife, you expect her to take care of herself.
That is an important a topic to discuss. So inshallah, we follow and learn more about it. So we meet you soon. Have a nice time.
They told me that I'm crazy. Who you praying for? Told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio.